That's right. It is 9 o'clock on a Tuesday, so it's Start Pinch Cut time, brought to you by Jay's South Lanto Service. Get in the know, Jay's South Lanto. Let's do a Would You Rather to start with Start Pinch Cut. If you could participate in one of these three events, which one would it be? Home Run Derby, Dunk Competition, or the Old School Quarterback Skills Competition, where you threw the football at the moving targets that you had to hit the tip of the ball that looked like it had been in Michael Irvin's apartment.
Yeah.
And you had to hit the targets.
Did you see the guy that the Mets drafted that snorted the line?
Oh, yeah. That viral video is College World Series last year.
Last year he played for Michigan. Yeah. He snorted the line when he slid into third. Thought he played in the 80s.
I got to look that up.
Yeah.
They said he got a call from Doc Gooden.
Daryl Strawberry weighed in. Oh, yeah, all those guys. Man. Keith Hernandez. Everybody was calling.
Stay away from Fifth and Manhattan. Trust me.
Stay away from
the parade.
From the line.
What a documentary that was, the 86 Mets.
Oh, God. I was talking to somebody about that yesterday at the J, and we were having the conversation because we were talking about like the greatest outfields ever, you know, which we can get into at any point in time. But they're like, you realize like Gary Carter was the only one on the team that wasn't involved in like doing drugs and stuff. I'm like,
and he's the only one in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
I think.
And he's like the only one that's dead.
Yeah.
Irony. I'm going to go with the Home Run Derby, I think.
Just to hit cranks?
Yeah, I think so.
You don't want to get up there, tongue out?
I do. It's hard. It's hard. It's hard. But if I had to pick just the one, I think it's the Home Run Derby for me.
Or just going out there and spinning it, hitting those targets from like 50 yards down right on a dot.
All things I cannot do.
Yeah, exactly.
So you said start Home Run Derby, bench the dunk, and then pass on the skills?
Yeah. Too bad there's not a route running competition or else that'd be easy for me. I'd be
Well, that's not. So which one are you choosing?
I'll go dunk, QB, then derby.
Shocker. Mm-hmm. I'm going Home Run Derby. Just chicks dig the long ball.
They do.
Then I'm going to go to the Old School Skills Competition just to throw that, you know, pigskin a quarter mile. And dunking, be cool.
They got rid of that skills competition because Patrick Mahomes would dominate. So let's move on.
Gotcha. Going back to the show, if you listened, thank you. If not, no big deal. If you get an unlimited 24 hours at one of these three stores, where do you go? Menards, Costco, Nebraska Furniture Mart.
Starting Costco, benching Menards, cutting Nebraska Furniture Mart.
I think I'm starting Menards, benching Nebraska Furniture Mart, cutting Costco.
Oof. I think I will start Costco. 24 hours in Costco, man, that sounds like it would be tough, but I bet it'd be pretty easy. Benchy, Nebraska Furniture Mart, and Cutting Menards.
Okay.
We move on to smells. Start Bench Cut. Cardi B's BBL, C-Dot's pin caps, or Binks hot dog hat.
I don't know Binks hot dog hat.
It's the one he had from when Joey Chestnut was in studio. He wears it every year on the 4th of July. Anticipating glizzy goblins while sweating. You got to take a big old sniff.
Boy. All right, I'm going to start Binks hot dog hat. I'm going to bench Cardi B's BBL, and I'm going to cut C-Dot's pins.
If I can get Bob to drop Cardi's BBL every episode for the rest of my life, I'll be gone by August.
My kids hate when I sing that song, BBL Drizzy. They're like, Dad, please, you're embarrassing us.
So BBL Stinky.
Look, in stereo, that man. Awesome. That was really good.
BBL Stinky. BBL Stinky.
I'll
BBL Maloney.
I'll start the BBL Stinky. I don't know, dude. I'll bench Bink and I'll cut the pin cap.
I'm going to start Bink. I'm going to bench Dot and I'm going to get rid of Cardi B because I ain't about that.
BBL Stinky. You like Stephon Diggs kicking that BBL Stinky to the curb, huh?
We move on to water sports. Would you rather know how to surf, wakeboard, or ski?
I'm going to go surf, start. I'm going to bench, ski, and then I'll cut the wakeboard.
Starting wakeboard is my favorite water sport. I love it. I wish I was better at it. Wish I could do it more. Because
they say getting
really
up
fun.
Is the hardest.
It
part.
Is. I've tried, man.
Ate water.
It's so impossible. I have no upper body strength. That's why I started to lift. You can see I'm getting swole after one day. Right, it's a little tight here in the arms. But no upper body strength and whatnot. So I've never been able to get up. And I've gone out numerous times. My friend Todd and Laura, they're like, "Get out of the thing." I'm like, "I can't."
Oh, we got to get you up. Yeah, wakeboarding's really fun. I'd go surfing after this.
I just want to lay in a tube and get pulled behind the boat.
That's fair.
That's fair. I'm going to start ski. I'm going to bench wakeboard and the hell with surfing.
Oh,
I don't
want to
get
eaten
by a shark.
I'm not there.
We go to vacations. Because you guys have been to the lake this year. I'll be at the ocean next week. And then you guys have been to new cities as well this year. New Orleans, right? Mm-hmm. Like you went to North Dakota and South Dakota and all that. So we're on a vacation. Start, bench, cut. The ocean, the lake, or a new city?
I'm going to start the new city. I'm going to bench the ocean, then I'll cut the lake.
Same. Yep.
Yeah. I'm going to start the ocean, bench the lake, get rid of the new city. Just because I can do more, I think. I don't know. I love water, man. Like,
yeah, I get it.
Like when I die, if you guys are around me, get my ashes and go take them to somewhere in the ocean. Throw them out there.
Yeah.
Let him drift away. Slip sliding away with Paul Paul Simon in the background. Mm-hmm. We move on to the first half for the Royals. Start, bench, cut. Chris Bubich, Noah Cameron, Seth Lugo.
Do it in that order.
I think that's the order. Yeah, I agree.
Really do. Yeah.
All-star. Could have been an all-star. Veteran star.
Yeah. Right? I think that's it.
Yeah, Chris Bubich, Noah Cameron. I mean, man, Noah Cameron's been great.
He's been awesome.
He's been fantastic. I wouldn't have a problem starting Noah Cameron, benching Chris. I mean, I said yesterday he's been the most consistent player on this team all year long, and he has been.
Yeah, if he were in the end, I mean, he should have a conversation of being an all-star. Really, like if MIZ's there, you know.
Yeah, that's exactly right. If MIZ is there, we need CAM. Let's go. It's obviously too late for that. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place with those two guys. But, I mean, I'll start Bubich because he's been here longer. But yeah. Noah Cameron's been the most consistent player on the team from the start of the season to where we are now.
There were a few more starts, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
You may give him the nod.
Well, Mizorowski only needed five. Yeah, man, I think that is the order. We go to Home Run Derby last night, or we'll just go to Power Hitter, start, bench, cut. The Dumper in Raleigh. James Wood, who hit that one over the building, about 468 feet. And then you got, I know where Bob's going, you have O'Neill Cruz, who hit the 513 Cruz missile.
Well, also because he plays center field and he's a great defender, so that's why I would start him. I would bench Wood and I would cut Raleigh at 28 years old, the catcher and whatnot. You know, it's not a big cut or anything like that, but if I'm ranking him, I'm going with the kind of the younger guys that, you know, don't catch.
Do we ever hear from Raleigh again after this year?
I was going to ask you, and I'm being serious about that. Do we hear from him in the second half of this season?
Well, they'll be chasing him now.
Or does he?
Because he's on pace to hit 76 home runs.
Because we've seen these guys in the home run derby dominate, and then where do they go in the second half of the season?
Yeah, that
seemingly happens all the time.
That's the old head take. They'll be like, oh, they're going to ruin their swing.
Right. Mm-hmm. But you look at it too, and you're like, it does. I mean, you know, a lot of these guys that dominate in the home run derby do nothing in the second half. They expunge all their energy or whatever. Now, Aaron Judge obviously was a different story on this. But Cal Raleigh being at that catcher position is going to be real interesting to see if he can keep up this pace for the final 65 games.
Mac?
Yeah, I'll go Big Dumper, Cruz, and then Wood.
Yeah, Big Dumper's great. What also is great is...
Hailing from Colleen, North Carolina, a man who's doing something that no catcher has ever done in the history of the sport, with the fattest ass in all of professional sports.
And leading the big leagues with 38 homers so far...
Ladies and gentlemen, Big Dumper Cal Raleigh.
That's good.
Well done.
That's awesome.
Well done, Mr. McAfee.
People complaining about McAfee last night?
Oh, yeah. People Why the hell would this fool be on baseball coverage?
Because
it's on ESPN.
And he's one of the most prominent voices in sports, and you want your folks associated with the people that move the needle. It's a pretty great move by baseball.
We move on to this because tonight I will have ballpark food. I had this other food on Friday. Ballpark food, wedding food, or office party food?
Who's catering the office party?
Well, it's normally like when everybody brings something.
Oh,
like,
I'm out on those potlucks. Okay. Yeah, you never know how somebody's kitchen, man.
Sometimes somebody will bring like a cheese ball and you're like, who made this? So that's getting cut for Bob.
Yeah, out. I will
Somebody sneezed on it.
Exactly.
I mean, look, you know, all these crock pots and somebody's cat walked into one of these things.
You
I'm
get to
out.
See who's creative and who's not.
You know, that's good. You could look at it. And
just look at it.
Yeah. So I'll start the, I guess I'll start wedding food, bench ballpark food, and then cut the office party food.
Mm.
I'll start the ballpark. The wedding food, you just don't know. It could be inconsistent.
But it's always
ballpark
good.
Ballpark food, though. But like, I've gone to ballparks, and you're so disappointed by the food.
Really? A hot dog and nachos?
Yes.
Oh.
Have you seen the nachos at the K? Here's a bag of chips and a cup of cheese.
Pretty good. Get some
bag of jalapenos.
I'm in.
Ugh.
Yes, sir.
Smash. Yeah, sometimes the hot dogs aren't good. Like, I maybe that's my fault. I go in with the idea that this is going to be a great hot dog, and it just never is. Like a Dodger dog or a Fenway Frank, and you think it's going to be it's the same thing.
You put a dog nachos and pinos on my lap, and
that's my favorite.
I mean, that those nachos at Kauffman Stadium may be the worst thing at a ballpark. I'm not kidding.
BBL stinky.
Here's a bag of Tostitos, a tray.
Yep.
A thing of cheese and a baggie of jalapenos. Make it yourself. It's like COVID happened, and they forgot to tell the nacho stand that COVID ended.
We'll go to the text line with this one. 90s music, 90s movies, 90s style.
Yeah, all of it, baby. Starting them all. Music, movies, style.
Okay. I'll start the movies, I'll bench the music, and I will cut the style. Try to block my style.
I'll start the style, I'll bench the music, and I'll cut the movies.
Really? You like the 90s style?
90s style? Heck yeah.
What do you like about the 90s style?
You got cut off shorts.
The color scheme.
Yeah, color scheme.
A lot of teals, a lot of pinks, a lot of yellows.
Just go watch Saved
by the Bell.
Yeah.
JNCO jeans. Now they're expensive, apparently.
Yeah, now
are they really?
Yeah, they made a comp. They're on the comp, dude.
Very much so.
Maybe a new topic idea for the show, but things that make Bob go. On the other side, there's another jersey release that's definitely going to get Bob to.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
Okay, well, that's your
Who
tease.
Who is it?
Tampa Bay, 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Bobby Witt Jr., and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
That's right. It's that time of the year where teams start to have fun with their social media, releasing what they will show in the season with their uniforms. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, by the way, just released a video of Steve Spurrier, it looks like, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
Doing the narration. The Bucs are going to bring back their 1976, right?
That's their first year, I believe.
1976 jerseys in week 3 versus the Jets. They are clean.
Mm-hmm.
And the Saints said, first, the white helmet. What's next? Coming July 22nd.
Oh, yeah. They've got a new jersey.
And it shows a guy
right?
carrying a bag, and it's lit up in like the Saints bag.
Oh,
ooh, okay.
I like that.
And then
that's
coming
exciting.
Out of it just says Manning. No, I'm kidding. I'm joking. That'd be sweet.
That would be sick.
No, we're just kidding. But seriously, we're getting Manning next year. If they end up with the number one pick and take Arch Manning, will everybody finally believe about the script then? Will everybody be in on that if that ends up happening? I think so. I think that's like the one that puts everybody over the hump when Manning ends up in New Orleans. Now, Tampa's had a bunch of tweets about their jerseys this morning. The latest, it says the coolest QB in the league just got cooler. And it's just a picture of Baker in that jersey and in that uniform. And it really, they really are awesome, man. I wish we had something we can go back to.
Has your family dove into the Stranger Things?
We started years ago when they were a little bit younger, and it was scary for them.
Because let me bring this to reality for you about a show that has milked it. 9 years ago is when it began. Stranger Things season 5 teaser tomorrow. And it says there are 3 volumes of the final season.
What?
Oh, yeah. You ready for this?
Oh, my gosh.
3 volumes. Volume 1, November 26th. Volume 2, Christmas. Volume 3, the finale, New Year's Eve.
So Thanksgiving is the 26th. Has to be then, right? If they're doing it like that,
yeah.
Right?
That makes sense. The 3 holidays. God, dude. Okay.
9 years ago.
Gosh.
How are you still into that show?
I got
Is
out.
11 like 29 now? Are they going to call her like 23? Yes. Millie like, Bobby Brown with Bon Jovi's son, whose name is John Bon Jovi II?
Yeah.
I think it's actually John. I think it's
John
actually
Bon Jovi.
Yeah, I think it's Bon Jovi.
I think it's Bon Iver.
Skinny Love, baby. Banger.
What?
Yeah, dude, I just, 9 years.
Who's waiting for that and goes, oh, okay, it's time to watch the next episode. It's been 9 years since the last one. I mean, you forget what the show's
Seriously.
About.
I love the first 2 seasons, but then I was just like, I'm not waiting for it. I'm just
and
starting
And then it was
stuff.
Like each episode was an hour and a half.
Yep.
Oh, but it's so good. And now I'm going to have to go back and watch it all over again.
Of course.
Because I will.
Well, you have to get, I mean, you lost 9 years.
Yeah, dude. Been a decade for a Netflix show?
I mean, a lot's happened. Let's think about the 9 years that have gone on since this show. You know, the Royals, I guess, 10
Cubs
years
won
now.
The World
Cubs
Series.
Won the World Series.
Yeah.
The Chiefs have become the most dominating team in American professional sports.
The Chiefs have won 3 Super Bowls and been to 5 since Stranger Things started.
Cooper Flagg quit the Summer League.
Yeah.
What else? I mean, a lot. I mean, good Lord, 9 years.
We've had, what, 3 different presidential changes? 1, new one, 1 again.
Yeah.
So there's that. You've had 2 different shows in the morning from 6 to 10 a.m.
Yeah.
Cody was just on song 2.
Right.
But yeah, it's...
I mean, Brett Veachtown didn't even exist. Nobody even knew who Brett was 9 years ago.
Somebody says, what show? Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Millie Bobby Brown is 21 years old now. She was 12.
11. Yeah, 12 11 or 12.
This, yeah. 12 when this started.
That's
and
insane.
They're all supposed to be in high school?
She's supposed to be 15 in this last season.
Good. Yeah.
And is she still in it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
She's the main
person.
So they're having somebody who's that old play somebody that much younger than them?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That's what I'm saying. It's like
I hope they have AI and makeup.
Hopefully not. But yeah, just crazy that came along the timeline. I was like, geez. Yeah, somebody says the pandemic caused it to wait. I mean, dude.
Come on. It's pandemic's 5 years ago.
Yeah, they could have, like, I don't know, man.
Everything else is, other than the nachos at the K, everything else has evolved from the pandemic.
Yes. Nachos are so good.
I could get that at Hy-Vee. I don't need to go to a ballpark and pay $17 for a small bag of jalapenos.
I thought the pinos came with the nachos.
Well, they do, but I mean, it's all together. I mean,
you know. Yeah, so you get pinos, cheese, chips, $17.
Yeah, that's right.
Score.
Yeah. Or go to Hy-Vee and just buy it all for $3.
We've had the Olympics and Stranger Things.
Yeah, number of times, right?
Yeah, we almost got a World Cup.
Yeah.
Two of them.
The guy sailed to the Arctic Circle.
Yeah. We've been to the moon, they say. So, I mean, yeah, a lot of things happen. Some things could happen in the Chiefs camp today, as the big story out of the Chiefs, the only story, is that there's only one guy underneath the franchise tag in the entire NFL, and of course it's a Chiefs member. It is Trey Smith. This was Ian Rapoport yesterday on the Trey Smith development.
Either way, Trey Smith, one of the best guards in the NFL, is going to be a very rich man. Either way, he is going to be the highest paid guard in the NFL. It's really just a question of, does he get that multi-year to lock him up, to give him some financial security, to give the Chiefs some salary cap breathing room? Of course, it would help much more breathing room on a multi-year deal than on the one-year $23 million tag, where you have to take all of it. The two sides have been in communication. There have been negotiations. We do not know right now if a deal is going to get done, but at least as of this moment, it is a possibility. But I think either way, Trey Smith is going to be more than fine this year and for years to come.
Great word salad by Ian Rapoport. They're telling us literally nothing about what's going on with Trey Smith. And that's because it's been radio silence out there. And I kind of like that. You know, it's fine not to negotiate in the media, in the public, in front of everybody. Just kind of do it behind the scenes. And maybe something will get done. Maybe it won't get done. But I don't understand the salary cap implications for this one. You're already kind of set with your roster. Obviously, there will be an adjustment that needs to be made once guys get injured and things like that happens and you change things. But worrying about the salary cap on July 15th, that's just a buzzword that Rapoport threw out there. That report to me told me nothing about where Trey Smith is. And that's a good thing, because nobody knows what's going on with Trey Smith. And sometimes that's okay. Sometimes that means the wheels of progress are happening behind the scenes. Sometimes when people talk and negotiate and do things in the public, they ain't got nothing to say. They're just trying to distract attention for those that signed NDAs and are quiet about things. What?
We asked the question yesterday, do you think it gets done today? Yes or no? Now that we're a day to the day, it's July 15th.
I think it's going to get done till it's not. You know, that's kind of the way that I live. Yeah, why not? Let's get it done. And then it doesn't get done. Okay, didn't get done.
Damn, I forgot we lost George Bush the senior on November 30th, 2018. That happened between the pandemic. That also happened when it came to before Stranger Things has finished. I don't know. Something tells me that it gets done today. I don't know why.
I feel like, yeah, maybe it does.
I feel like this is a year where, like, they want as minimum of distractions as possible. And I think after this, you'll have the looming of, will Rashee Rice be suspended, which some people now are saying it may not happen. You also have...
You can't suspend until there's a trial, right?
Right. And then you have the Trent McDuffie deal, which I think a lot of people in the area that have ears to the wall believe that that is just a deal waiting to happen, not a deal of if it will happen. And then Rustin's behind. And then you also have, you know, this being done. You don't have to worry about, is Trey Smith going to play? The thing is that... Like, he is going to set the bar for linemen at the guard position with this contract, and I think it's been well-deserved. Like, the guy got underdrafted because of blood clots and whatever out of Tennessee, got to the league, has been a good force on that offensive line. He protects the billion-dollar athlete in Patrick Mahomes, or the $500 million contract in Patrick Mahomes, and you need unity on the offensive line, which is what they're still trying to complete with the left tackle and left guard situation. And with that situation going on, you kind of really don't have an option. In my opinion, what you do with Trey Smith, lock that up. Dwan Taylor, Trey Smith, Creed Humphrey, left guard, we'll see. Left tackle, we still will see.
Yeah.
And that's what you move in going to camp.
Well, and I think right now, look, they want Trey Smith, obviously, to be here long term, but it has to work for everybody involved. And neither side is going to get into what they perceive to be a bad contract. And I don't blame either side for getting into what they perceive to be a bad contract. Now, it has to be somewhere where both of them can agree on something, and maybe we'll get there today, and maybe we won't. But you mentioned the word distraction. And if Trey doesn't sign, it's going to be a topic all season long. You know, will Trey Smith sign as the season goes along and he plays well? What does this mean for Trey Smith's future? Will this be it with Trey Smith here in Kansas City? So if he doesn't sign, it will be a topic all season long. How could you not? It's human nature to wonder about things you don't know about, right? And we don't know about the future of Trey Smith. We want Trey Smith to be here for life, but also, too, Trey Smith has got a couple of Super Bowl rings now, been to a handful of Super Bowls, hasn't gotten paid yet. He may be looking around going, man, I love Kansas City. I love the Chiefs. I've accomplished a lot there. I want it, and I owe it to myself to go out there and test the free agent market after next season. I'll play for $23.5 million this year, ho-hum, but I'm going to go test the free agent market next year. Now, the downfall is it doesn't give him any sort of security if he were to get injured and whatnot. And so for me, being more of a conservative guy fiscally, I would sign something that gives me that stability moving forward. But again, I'm not an NFL athlete that bets on themselves. And so I get both sides of this whole thing. Whatever happens today, we got to live with it. And if it's only for one more year, then Trey's going to go out and have himself one hell of a year so he can get paid even more when he hits the free agent market this offseason.
A text you might respect from the 913, quote, Trey Smith will either get the franchise tag or sign an extension. If he doesn't get the tag, that means he signed an extension. If he gets tagged, he didn't sign the extension. Trey Smith is a football player, quote, Adam Schefter.
That's great. That, well played.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, very well played. Well done. That was great. Bravo. Like, seriously.
That's it.
Well done by you. Take the rest of July off, my friend, and call it a month. Take the next 15 days and do you. That's great stuff.
Yeah, I don't think the deal is going to get done today, but I will say I don't think it's a distraction inside that locker room.
Inside at all. It's always us.
Yeah, it'll be us. We'll have some fun fodder about it in December, but they're not going to be thinking about that at all. No. And neither will Trey.
Where do you rank Trey's importance on this team? Is he a top 10?
Top 10.
Yeah. Oh, God,
top 10 for
eight
sure.
Or nine?
Yep, lower half probably. Maybe middle seven-ish. Yeah.
Mahomes number one.
For sure.
Chris Jones number two.
Fine. Yeah.
Kelsey number three.
I don't know if I put him that high.
I wouldn't put him that high.
Okay. Well, I'm just thinking of 10 guys ahead of Trey Smith.
No, I get it.
Trey McDuffie.
McDuffie.
Creed.
Sure.
I think
Creed's the battery, mate.
Yeah. I mean, he's the center. He's the leader of the line. Yeah, I think Creed's got to be above him.
Is Bolton above Trey Smith?
Are any of the wide receivers above Trey Smith?
Rashee.
What was the question?
I think Bryce is most important is what you said.
And maybe we can do this tomorrow. We can rank our top 10 most important Chiefs that there are. But I just wonder where Trey Smith is at the right guard position, because he's going to be the highest paid right guard, which means he's got some sort of significant pull of his rank and position on this team. I think you're right with Mahomes and Jones at 1 and 2. I mean, I think Rashee Rice is 3 of importance.
I mean, he
will move that offense the way that he plays that position and the way that his skill set makes Patrick Mahomes that much better. Because if Rashee's cooking, then that makes Xavier Worthy a little bit easier to cook. That makes it a little bit easier for Hollywood Brown. That makes it a lot easier for Travis Kelce.
Let me ask you this, and I don't mean this as a joke. Is Butker on that list?
Yeah.
I think so, too.
Absolutely.
I think he's 10.
I think he's on that list. I think
about it.
I think at times, as much as we've hated Lynn Elliott over the years, we have taken Harrison Butker for granted. And
mm-hmm. Yes,
I mean, when he's gone, it's going to be a lot different around here. Seriously.
Which is crazy to think he was released by a practice squad in Carolina.
Well, he was on their squad, and like Veach like wanted to draft him, you know, out of college, one of those type of things. He was there and Santos got hurt, and they went and got him off the practice squad. That's why Carolina sucks.
I mean, how often do the Chiefs drive down the field to either tire in the game and it's a 40 or 45 or a lot of the times 50 plus and we're like, all right, cool, game over or
13
overtime.
Seconds.
Also look at the importance that Mullins kid for San Francisco when they beat him in the Super Bowl hadn't missed a field goal all year.
Yep.
Hadn't missed an extra point. Missed an extra point, allowed the Chiefs to go get two and do their thing. And then also, he hit the longest field goal in Super Bowl, and then Harrison Butker said, hold my beer.
Right.
And then you think about the stones and the plums, the size of the plums Butker's had to be in that 13-second game.
Oh,
I mean, the heroic plays.
I mean, has there been a more nerve-wracking moment for one athlete in Kansas City sports history than Butker lining up in that 13-second game?
You say you were nervous and scared. Who was the quarterback they were going up against in that game? Oh, that's right, Josh Allen.
Yeah,
okay.
But seriously, like when you think of singular play, like Salvi didn't know at what point of time he was going to get a hit.
And what's great is it wasn't like this with Butker, because remember when he was missing all those extra points and was kind of
he was hurt
off a little bit, and then they lost him in that stupid Arizona turf.
That's right.
And they were running guys in and out,
and it lasted almost a whole year,
and they couldn't get any solidarity. I can't even say the word solidarity at that position. And then all of a sudden, Butker came back, and you're like,
yeah,
we're good now.
You know? Like the kicker's not somebody you tend to think about a lot when he's good.
Yeah.
You know, like you just know when Butker trots out there, and that's what he does. The kickers trot, right? They trot out there. You know, he's kicking it through the uprights. You just know the game is over at that point in time. You know, if you need a game winning field goal, oh, here comes Harrison Butker onto the field. So when you're talking about most important Chiefs, he may be higher than 10, guys.
I think he might be too. Yeah.
He may be higher.
2 years ago when they beat Buffalo in Buffalo.
This is your assignment tonight, boys.
Yep.
Put your top 10 important Chiefs on the list and we'll do it tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, 2 years ago in Buffalo, Tyler Bass missed that. It was a 44-yard. I just looked it up to make sure. It's 44 yards. I mean, how often do we see Butker miss a 44-yard to win it? In that moment, doesn't happen.
Well, and I know Butker has been there, done that type of stuff. But you there was a time where he didn't been there, done that. That, you know, he just became that guy. I think a lot of these guys, and rightfully so, these kickers, man, you make a kick, you're a hero. You miss it, you're cut. You're out. You're done. You're gone.
Two good texts here from the 816. Don't forget the kick he made against the Bengals in that cold weather game in the AFC Championship game that sent him to the Super Bowl. And then they say that he is the Wade Davis of the Chiefs.
Great text.
That's a good text.
Yes.
I would say he's more valuable than Wade Davis, though. I mean,
because he's your closer.
Yeah.
Like he's the guy, hey, man. And he's the guy that you know that Pat looks at him in the sideline. He goes, where do you want it? And he's like, get me to the 45.
I mean, Harrison's going to the Hall of Fame. Just so everybody's like aware of that. Like kickers do get in. I think there's six
kickers
in the Hall of Fame.
Tucker would have been in, but now he's not probably going to get in.
The NFL will have a decision on that, yeah.
Yeah. Because he's, suspended 8 games?
He's never going to play
again. I think it's 10 games.
He's done. He's never playing again. Had a really bad last season. Recency bias would tell you right now he's not getting in. Who knows in 5 years? You know what? But Harrison Butker should be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
And I know kickers don't get the love and what they deserve, but the kicks that this guy has made, and again, I'm just speaking off the cuff and I'm completely wrong. Find me a kicker in NFL history that has had more successful big time kicks than Harrison Butker.
I'd say Vinatieri.
Vinatieri? Did he have as many of those moments as Harrison did? Or do we remember the moment that he had in the snow, you know?
But he also kicked one against the Rams in the Super Bowl and then did some stuff for the Colts as well.
But I think Harrison's probably had more, guys.
It's funny. Says the NFL kickers are specialists responsible for kicking field goals and extra points. Some notable NFL kickers are Justin Tucker, Harrison Butker, Daniel Carlson, and Jake Elliott. I asked for kickers in the Hall of Fame, and I got the
that's what AI gave you. Yeah. It's 70s movies, Wizard of Oz.
Happy late birthday to Harrison Butker yesterday.
Oh, how about that? Birthday. How
30
old?
Years old.
30. So we got another decade.
Yeah,
left.
We got some time with him
when does the leg stop?
Morton Anderson was in his 40s when he was kicking.
Also, when it comes to the all-time most accurate kickers in the NFL, do you want to know where Harrison Butker lands?
Probably three.
He is two.
Who's number one?
Justin Tucker.
Yeah.
89.1%. Harrison Butker right on the edge at 88.6. So we talk about watching Salvi get to 300 home runs and 2,000 or 3,000 RBI, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of kicks to be made, but he's literally only 5.5 percentage points behind Justin Tucker.
Who else is on that list?
Eddie Pinheiro at third, yeah. Chris Boswell at four, Daniel Carlson at fifth, Josh Lambeau at sixth, Fairbairn at seventh, Vander Jack, our idiot kicker, at number eight, Robbie Gould at nine, and then Kai Forbath at 10. So
a lot of current guys on that list. It shows you how good the kickers, because when I was a kid back in my day growing up, they would find these guys on the street corner that were playing soccer. You know, and playing for like the New York Cosmos and bring them in. And I mean, like they ran through kickers back in the day. Now, just like anything, it's become such a specialized position. It's crazy, man.
And to give Bob credit, do you want to know where Adam Vinatieri is on this list for most accurate kickers all time in the NFL?
20th?
Mac?
16th?
32nd.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's why I don't think that's a good measure necessarily of GOATs, because he's... Vinatieri's Mount Rushmore.
I mean, he's had
top
some,
three.
I mean, Gostkowski's 11.
Gostkowski, yep, he would be up there.
He's had some big time kicks too,
for sure. Yeah, I think Bucker could go down as the GOAT.
He really could.
He could, like, legitimately.
And that's not being hyperbolic.
Mahomes, Kelsey, Bucker.
Yeah, I mean, come on, yes.
Andy, Spags. Let's go. Like,
Jones.
He won't be the GOAT.
He'll be
the best to ever do it.
He'll be in the conversation of top 10 defensive tackles of all time.
For sure.
I mean, think about it. I mean, it's amazing. Nuts how many, like, this is why this team is good, because they're good at, like, every team has to worry about their kicker. Every fan gets sick to their stomach when the kicker trots out there for a game winner. Here in Kansas City, we see Butker, we start celebrating. Mm-hmm. I don't know that there's been anybody, and I've said this, better at their job in sports than Harrison Butker.
Somebody says he's very valuable considering how much Andy chooses to settle for three.
That's funny.
Harrison Bucker's the only guy that's like, please don't get the yard. Please don't get the yard. Incentives. Then you have somebody on the text line named Janae says, Max, staying in Nashville tonight. First time, where do we eat?
Yeah, Janae.
Barcelona. I told you she was looking. Yes, Barcelona for tapas. If Sambuca's still open, not a steakhouse, one of the best steaks I've ever had. Mm-hmm. And then it is touristy, but Hattie B's for hot chicken. I'll send it to you, Janae.
It's touristy because that's what you're supposed to do.
Good.
I
yes.
know, right? It's like, really, everybody, oh, that's such a tourist spot.
You're supposed to go to Kansas City and eat barbecue.
Yes.
You're supposed to go to Nashville and eat Nashville hot chicken.
Yep.
You're supposed to go to Maine and eat, what, lobster rolls? Yep. You're supposed to go to Baltimore and eat crab cakes.
Just do it. Yes. Like, people get so mad. Oh, that's for the tourists. Well, that's what I am.
Exactly. When we went to New Orleans, we did all of it. It was
absolutely
great. It.
But people get so mad. Oh, you went to a tourist trap. Yes, I did.
Heck yeah.
Yes, I did.
We'll come back and get to some baseball topics because of the All-Star Game. Plus, we'll get back to what the announcement was today, that it is Kelsey Day on 8-7-25 here on Fesco and Dusty with Mac Morey on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
What the hell's wrong with your station?
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Day morning, Fesco and Dusty with you on 96.5 The Fan. Mac Morey producing as well. We were stupidly going through the list of Major League Baseball winningest managers of all time. And
well,
Dusty,
Torrey's
on TV, and he comes in at number five with 2,300 wins. And Dusty says to me, "Do you know who the top five winningest managers are?" And I immediately, Connie Mack, I knew. I said some McGraw guy, I think,
Mack's
for the
awesome.
Giants. And then we kind of drew blanks on that one. And you said Bobby Cox is in there. And I go, yeah, Bobby Cox is definitely in there. Tony La Russa is the second winningest manager in Major League Baseball history by number of wins, not by winning percentage. Because Connie Mack has the most wins, but he's a losing manager. So most of these guys have records, you know, under 500 or very close to 500. Connie Mack won 3,731 games. Number one on the list. Mm-hmm. Tony La Russa's number two, 2,800 wins. Almost 1,000 wins less than the guy who's ahead of him. That's probably a sports record that'll never
and
be
probably
broken.
Won more Coach of the Year awards than Andy Reid.
BBL stinky.
Torrey looks like he could still do it.
He looks great.
He looks like he's still in that 99 dugout for the Yanks.
Dude, I love him. One of my all-time heroes. I got a picture with him at the World Series, and it was like just me and him standing there, and somehow somebody sent it to him, and he autographed it for me, and it was really cool. It was a really neat moment. I love Joe Torrey. He was the first time I realized that that's the way that you really need to be as a coach in professional sports. Hardly ever got mad. Would go out there and argue with the umpire. And he did a finger wag too. Joe Torrey did. And every time he did that, I felt like that was grandpa telling you he was disappointed in you, right? Mm-hmm. He did that finger wag at you. But man, that guy, he was unbelievably calm. And to be calm, to have George Steinbrenner as your boss, mm-hmm. and to be calm as a cool as a cucumber like Joe Torrey was, I think it had an impact on George Steinbrenner, and he changed who he was. But that was the first guy I really remember. Like, the yelling and screaming with Billy Martin, all that's kind of cool, but eventually that loses its luster. You got to be cool, calm, and collected, and Joe Torrey was, and that's the way to do it. The most successful guys are calm.
Who's the bald, fat guy that Pedro threw down?
Don Zimmer.
Yeah, didn't, yeah. I wonder what Joe had to say about that. Yeah,
go back and listen to that. I remember exactly where I was when that moment happened. And we were at State Street Brats in Madison, Wisconsin. Hamburger and brat on the same bun.
I mean, Pedro did the right thing. He just threw him down.
Well, it's a fight. I mean, you know.
You're coming at him.
It's elder abuse.
Yeah. He started it, man. Somebody from the 563 on the text line says, I'm about to eat KFC in Jamaica, and I can't wait. That's a play. Like, that's an interesting flex there.
Yeah, but if you have kids, mm-hmm. are you with kids, first of all? Because if you're with kids, I get it. We were in Italy. We just want McDonald's. Kids are weird.
In Italy?
Everywhere, dude.
That would tick me off. I want to go there so bad.
Of course it ticks you off. But think about where you were 12 years ago when you were, you know, seeing Travis Kelce for the first time at Leawood Middle School. You're running around going, chicken tenders.
I loved food. I still love chicken tenders.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody loves chicken tenders.
Yeah. Go get the Ben Maller chicken tenders at the Landing.
So good.
Shout out Maloney.
The dry rub is so good.
It's amazing.
Somebody says, Dusty, what's the best flavor of Surfside? Love the peach tea.
Peach tea.
Peach tea's great.
And then I love the black cherry lemonade.
Those are really good. The strawberry ones are good.
That's
the
most popular.
I like the plain, too.
Yeah, I also just love, like, the Arnold Palmer version, like the lemonade iced tea one. That one's great. They're all good.
They're all good, yeah.
Yeah. The lemonades are sweeter than the tea. So if you like sweeter things, go lemonade. If you like more of a tea-ish flavor, go with the tea, or the green tea ones are great too.
If you really want to get it going, you have one of the teas, some Deep Eddie's lemon on the tea.
So you do a little mix and match?
A little mix and max, yeah.
Snip, snap.
You're adding extra booze to your booze?
Yes. Yeah.
Somebody says KFC is a treat and a big thing in Jamaica, not just food. I've been in Jamaica, but okay. We just ate Caribbean jerk chicken and swordfish.
Yeah, like that's what you do. Again, back to the tourist stuff, like cool doing that and getting the KFC. I think it's a baller move.
I was really turned off with the swordfish because it came out and it was just like a square white steak.
That's what swordfish is.
And
yeah.
I took one bite and I'm like, are you sure this is seafood? Like,
I love swordfish.
It was meaty. Oh, it was so good.
It's really? So good. Oh, swordfish so is good. So good.
I'd love to try it.
Put some chimichurri sauce on top of that swordfish. You don't have to cook it long either. That's the other thing, man. Fish is like boom boom, you're done, and it's off the grill.
It was insane.
Swordfish is tremendous. It's probably my favorite fish.
It was insanely good, and all they did was put like a lemon garlic sauce on top and served it with like asparagus and something else. I don't know. I was half tanked,
but it is meaty. Like they call it a swordfish steak for a reason.
Interesting.
You're cutting into that thing like it is a tremendous fish.
No, it's good. It's almost like when you get like it's terrible comparison, but like when you get a nice meaty piece of cod, like, you know, you still taste the fish. You don't taste that with swordfish.
I need to smash.
Hey, if your fish is fresh, you're probably not going to taste the fish. It's when it's been sitting around for a little bit. BBL stinky.
So you were having a conversation at the J about the best outfields?
Yeah.
And you came up with the Pittsburgh Pirates in 91?
That's the first one that I could think of. Van Slyke, Bonds, and Bonilla.
Mm-hmm.
That's a hell of an outfield, right?
Yeah.
At one time, we're not taking the best of teams, but one year best outfield.
Did Gwynn ever have any? He had, what do you have, Steve Finley in center, Gwynn in right, and then who was their left fielder that year? They played the Yankees in the World Series. What would have been that, 98? Was that 98 or was that the Subway Series? Because Padres and Yankees played.
They played in 98.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Gwynn and Finley were in the outfield. And I can't remember who was their left fielder.
I couldn't tell you.
So that means it's not up there. Beltran and Damon?
It's on the list.
Are we biased for that?
No, I don't think we are. I really don't. And, you know, I found a list from Buster Olney back in 2013, you know, when he came up with the best outfield single seasons of all time. He did not have Dye, Damon, and Beltran on that list. Mm-hmm. How you don't? I don't understand. I don't think we are biased. Now, the problem is that team stunk out loud. They had no pitching, right? I think
they were like 56 and 106.
No, they hadn't lost 100 yet because 02 or 04 was because I remember covering the team when they lost 100 for a first time, and that was a big deal. Oh my God, it's the first time we've ever lost 100, and then they made it a habit. And so I think those three guys were good, but the team wasn't good because they didn't have pitching. Imagine that outfield today with this pitching staff. Wouldn't lose a damn game. I mean, they wouldn't lose a game if they had
that. That is crazy. Beltran, Damon, and Dye all won rings. Ugh.
Yeah,
they all did. Dye was World Series MVP when he won his.
With the White Sox, right? Yeah.
06, 05.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
That sucks to hear.
Yeah. I mean...
But it's true. Truth hurts.
Like, the number one outfield that I think a lot of people are coming to are Mays, McCovey, and Felipe Alou for the Giants 1 year. That's a hell of an outfield right there. It's hard to beat that.
Yeah.
Somebody said, I think it was Buster Olney's list, he had Maris Mantle and Yogi Berra in 1961. Did Yogi play that much outfield to count as an outfielder for that time?
Because what, that was the home run year, right?
Yeah.
61, the Maris. Right. Yeah. Damn. I don't know, man. I still remember that Beltran, Damon. I'm pretty sure it sat on the coffee table to cover Sports Illustrated where they were all three like in the little triangle pose.
Yeah.
I think that sat on there and like my dad just every day is like, that's the future. If they could just keep him, that's the future.
And immediately and that offseason Damon traded. Yeah. We got your Roberto Hernandez. How's that going?
Somebody said Gordon, Kane, and Dyson. Not a bad one. Did Canseco and Ricky have a third guy out there that was good? Well, Canseco wasn't good.
He wasn't good, no.
He just had a bat. But, I mean, I guess Bond's bat hadn't really came around in 92 yet.
Yeah.
This goes back to your kids and going places from the 913. We saved up all our money to go to Greece. We go to this fancy restaurant. Guess what the kids ordered? Chicken nuggets. No euros for them.
No. Yeah. That's what we're doing this year as well. So if you got any good tips, let me know about Greece. But, that's what they want.
I am so shocked today that I found out that Jamaica loves KFC. Another text. Jamaicans rave about KFC. I think there's 50 on the island.
That's insane.
See, I would go down there and like you, I would just eat the jerk chicken the entire time.
That's all I did. I had that and swordfish every night.
And seafood. Like, you got to eat what's there, right?
Somebody says other best outfield nominees, Isbell, Renfro, and Melendez. Oh, boy. What's sad is it was this year.
It was real, and it was this year. Think about that.
Has anybody
picked up Renfro? Is he still out there?
I think he's out there.
Still available?
I saw a tweet yesterday that someone is pining for Melendez.
Yeah.
Who?
Can't even hit in AAA.
Royals fan.
Somebody says from the 816, they had swordfish lasagna in Sicily. It was the best seafood dish they've ever had. Could you imagine?
Oh, my God.
I know that I'm hard.
I know it's Tuesday.
No doubt about it.
And Jen, you're not the top dish today.
Ooh.
Swordfish lasagna, like a seafood lasagna. That sounds really good.
That's right, baby. It is Tuesday.
It's going to be a lot of ground and pounding.
Don't forget 8-7 this year. It's Travis Kelce Day. We do it all here on 96.5 The Fan. We got another surprise for you for Thursday. We'll get to that tomorrow as well. Do your homework, fans. Top 10 most important Chiefs players on this roster. We'll do it tomorrow. But as always, go do something nice for somebody today. You never know. It could change their day, their week, their month, their year. It's simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay kind, stay safe, stay groovy, stay hydrated. Coming up next, it's Cody Golden Drew from 10 to 2. 3, 2, 1.